Kind of an odd passage today from John's Gospel, chapter 15. A commandment from Jesus. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down one's life for a friend. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. For this I command that you love one another. Why would that have to be commanded? If you were going to command someone to do something, you might command them to eat their vegetables or uphold the speed limit or do other things that we know are unpleasant and that we often fail to do on purpose, but are good for us nonetheless. Why command us? Why have to command us to do something that is so edifying? Love one another. Well, he doesn't say, I command you only to love the people that are easy to love. And there are people that we know and who love us that aren't exactly easy. So we have to be commanded. It's like the teachers in elementary schools throughout the country this last week who informed their students that if you're going to bring Valentines for the class, you bring Valentines for everyone, even the kids you don't like, even the kids that are hard to love. For those of us who have ever been loved or loved another person, we know that it isn't always easy. We know there's an edge to being in a deeply committed, deep feeling relationship. And Hallmark or Teleflora or Russell Stover notwithstanding, it isn't always sweet and pretty. But it's the tough times, the times where we, in the company of people we love, do things unto one another, or fail to do things, or are just unable to prevent other things. It's those tough times that help us grow. This is why we have in the doorways of our church a prism, a star, the Christmas star, metaphorically, that refracts light into its constitutive parts, and that we know that because white light is the sum of all colors, by extension and by way of metaphor, we know that love is the sum of all feelings, all feelings, and they're all in there. They all belong in there. And to know that everything we feel, even when what we feel doesn't feel good in a relationship, is designed to make us stronger and help us grow. It helps us understand both why God commands us to do this and how much it took for him to live with us and ultimately die in our place. There's a sharp edge to love. It's a choice to decide to feel deeply, to feel it all with another being. When Harold the angel brings a cat into your life, as he apparently did with us a couple weeks ago, it feels good and the cat's wonderful, but we've had cats before and we know how this is going to go, ultimately. And yet, it's worth it. It's worth it only because we know that these relationships are temporary. Weddings are wonderful. The feelings are joyous and pleasant. And we almost gloss over the part in the vows where, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death us do part. But that won't be for a while. Well, you never know. And there's a sense of urgency that goes with the decision to love that prevents complacency. If we lived 500 years and the growth process were slowed in a way that would make sense, well, the tough times would be harder to bear because we would be more complacent about figuring out a way to work through them, because we have so much time. We don't have very much time. And it is the difficult times that show us the sharp edge of love, that bring to us the fullness of what it means to be in love. That sharp edge of love, the edge that is tinged with the thread of grief, is the same edge that helps us cut through the trouble. It's the sharp edge of love that forces us to feel it all, that in the company of others cuts through the tough times. I've only known Jeannie's folks in a meaningful way for a little over 7 years. They've known each other for a long time. They've been married 67 years. They got married in an edgy kind of way. They eloped. She was a public school teacher. And back in those days, public school teachers were not allowed to get married and keep their jobs. So they eloped and kept it a secret for the balance of the school year and decided it was worth the risk to put that edge in the start of their lives. Jeannie's dad's an edgy kind of guy. Worked in mid-level management his whole life, working very hard, providing a good means of his family's living. Had people working for him, I suspect, that from their point of view, he might have reminded them from time to time of Coach Knight, challenging them to be their best, expecting more than perhaps they thought they could give, but at the end of the day, were better people for it. This is a man who got things done and drove others to be their best. Married to a woman who was equally driven in her own way, much gentler in affect, the consummate nurturer, and who in their midlife together, in her dad's 50s, put that to use for him when he was felled by a dreadful heart attack that would have killed many less forthright people, I think. And she nurtured him in the same way that she nurtured her children. And the sharp edge of love saw them through it. They felt it all. And he continued being who he's always been in ways that no one would have predicted when, in 2001, Edna was felled by a devastating stroke and required all the nurture that she had been so free to give throughout the course of her life. It required it of the guy that you wouldn't expect could make this happen. But he did. He has. And in fact, was able to, with her, deal with that because of plans he'd made much earlier in their life together. They downsized the complexity of their life going back as far as 1990 with their living arrangements and property and holdings, such that when it came to be that it was basically the two of them against the world in the face of this stroke, well, that's what they had going for them in ways that I don't think anyone would have predicted, and if they've made it work. He's done things for her that it's hard to imagine if you'd worked for him 30 years prior, that he'd be willing or able. And she's done things that amaze me. She has done for herself in therapy what I think is the equivalent of training for a marathon. Working the wheelchair up and down the hall, being strapped in a walker, and walking to the extent that she was able, every day and without fail. And my sense is that love, the sharp edge of love, the fullness of all feelings that 67 years have brought to bear on that relationship have made it possible. And she's 91 years old today. And they're in the middle of it again. And how it will end or wind up in this episode is anybody's guess. But I know this for sure. In the 7+ years that I've known the two of them and watched them interact, I have never, not once, seen them part company for even an hour when he goes to the pharmacy or the grocery store. But what they don't exchange these words, God loves you and so do I. Now they pick that up, I think, from Robert Schuller Ministries, which they watch in lieu of being able to attend church, another adaptation to what life has brought, which I think bespeaks a spiritual bond between them and a spiritual connection to their world. And I think as well, it illustrates to me that they get it, that the fullness of love, the sharp edge of love, jars us from our complacency because we know it won't last forever. They part company with these words, knowing that, well, if this is the last time we part company, let it be with God loves you, and so do I. This I command you, to love one another. Just like that. Amen.